Blog Talk Radio.
And it's Ken Kreitzer for SAL Radio. We have a special show coming up today. A good friend of ours, we met through Providence College, is serving as a Dominican priest and is serving in Rome. After assignments in his career, Benedict Kroll from the Order of Preachers. And he has been just in Rome for the last year. And he is able to call in. And Father Benedict, how are you? It's Ken Kreitzer.
Good. How are you,
on, SAL
yes.
Radio. Good, good. Glad we were able to make the connection. Glad to hear from you. You know, that's where social media, you know, helps keep people in touch. And good to hear from you. So what is it like in Rome today?
Well, it's a little hazy. The sun's going down right now. I would say that I'm overlooking Piazza Venezia from the Quirinale Hill, where from my office, and I'm looking at St. Peter's. Sun's going down, so yeah, it's beautiful. It's a little chilly right now.
What's your temperature over there? It's about 20 degrees here in New York today.
Yeah, I think, let's see here, I want to tell you, it's 56 degrees here.
That sounds pretty good to us. This cold wave, we finally had winter settle in. Now, we met when you were working early in your career as a Dominican on an overseas project. Maybe if you would, why don't you just run through why you decided to become a Dominican and then the steps along your career path that has led you to being in Rome?
Okay, well, yeah, so when I was in university at Colorado State University in Fort Collins, Colorado, I ended up, my mother became very ill with cancer, and then I ended up going on a pilgrimage with my father. And I think after that, I was in a very vulnerable position in my life, and I began to actually pray for the first time. And I began to go to confession. I began to read the Bible. I began to pray the rosary, all things that you do for, you know, that a young man does when he starts thinking about becoming a priest. And the Lord gave me a big rush of grace, and I felt this real tangible call to dedicate my life to the gospel and to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. So that's kind of how it all came about. And then I ended up, I joined the Archdiocese of Denver as a seminarian, and I was sent to a Benedictine college run by Benedictine monks in Northwest Missouri, where I ended up kind of experiencing religious life for the first time. So I saw the Benedictines in action, you know, living a monastic kind of life where they're
sure.
kind of shut off from the world, but also doing wonderful work. And then that got me very interested in religious life, which is a variation on being a monk, basically. It's a more active kind of lifestyle. So monks are in a monastery, usually out in the country somewhere, and they work and they pray, whereas Dominicans live in a city, typically, and we engage the culture more and teach and do all sorts of great things. So I took an interest in the Dominicans. I went on a vocation weekend with them in Washington, D.C. at our seminary, the Dominican House of Studies, right there next to Catholic University. And I just decided
sure.
that this is where I want to be. So I kind of left everything behind and joined. And now I've been a priest now for almost 22 years. So it's crazy.
Wow.
When I look back at it, how much it's gone, how quickly it's gone.
Now, you know, one of the things the public and not everyone really understands is the difference between being a diocesan priest, which you said you started out in with the diocesan in Colorado, but going to an order which has a worldwide mission. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to go to an order rather than become a diocesan priest.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the thing. I grew up in a diocesan parish, like most people. I mean, there's a lot more diocesan priests than there are religious priests. And so the diocesan priest is situated in a geographical area And he has pastoral care of souls of people within his parish, so within a geographical boundary. And it's usually, in his home diocese, so people know him. He's able to be close to his family, and it's a wonderful kind of life, to be a diocesan priest too. But for me, I guess there was something about the habit. You put on a habit, and it's a whole way of life that you're initiated into. And also, we of course don't handle our own finances either. So everything that we receive, we have to turn into the community, because the community provides for all of our needs. So it's like from the Acts of the Apostles, where the apostles held everything in common. So if someone gives me a gift, I can't keep it. If I do, I'm stealing from our community. And also typically, I would say one of the major reasons why I decided to join religious life and not to become a diocesan priest is simply because, we of course live in community. So we have a common life that we share with each other in regard to prayers, in regard to like at least one meal per day. And we have a kind of a way of life that goes back, like our way of life, which is founded by St. Dominic, who lived some 800 years ago. He of course was a Spaniard, but he established this order that's now throughout the world, and we live in community. So our community here at the Angelicum in Rome, because of course the convent, or here in the United States we call it a priory, it's actually situated above the university, and we have about 50 friars that live here. And we have some renovations taking place right now. And so when those renovations are done, the community will be closer to 7. So.
Wow. And you went to Africa, to Kenya, early in your career as a Dominican. Did some very good work there as the Dominicans were building up several school projects in the area. It turned out to have some difficult moments, but tell us a little bit about your experience in Africa, going overseas to serve.
Yeah. So after I was, I went through seminary and I was ordained to the priesthood. My first assignment was in Ohio, in Cincinnati, and then to our Dominican parish. And then after that, I thought, if there's a time in my life, I'm going to try to do something very challenging. Now will be the time to do it. So I offered to go to our Dominican missions in East Africa, which comprises 4 countries: Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and Southern Sudan. And we have houses in Kenya, and as well as Tanzania. So I was sent there, and I had the chance. They utilized my presence, in the best way, and they asked me to be the novice master. Which, if you can imagine, I was like, here I am, a pretty young priest, and they asked me to be in charge of the young African men who are entering Dominican life, and to form them to within our life, and then to be able to prepare them to enter into formation. And then to go on to make their profession of vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and then to be ordained to the priesthood ultimately. So I was novice master for men from about 7 different countries. So Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Southern Sudan, Mozambique, Angola, and South Africa.
Give me a difficult part of the world.
Yes, and very different. I mean, my gosh, they were, just even within Kenya, you've got great. The tribes are so different, and yet there's a certain solidarity that they have with each other, obviously, just because they're from the same continent. And I think that we it was complex, but it was not, I wasn't sure what to expect. I wasn't sure whether I coming from the United States could even be such a formator. But the thing that I realized that was really important for me to realize was that our formation takes place within community. So I had a Dominican community that I was living within, and these men were received by our community, and we formed them in our way of life. They were initiated into the Dominican life, which goes back 800 years. And so we're initiating them into a way of life, not into, you know, American culture or something, you know? So we had to be very conscious of that we could distinguish between what is religious life and what does it look like, you know, within East Africa. So that's what we were trying to initiate them into. So we had to, which is obviously going to look very different over there than it is over, you know, like in the United States or even here in Italy for that matter. But the fact is that there are enough similarities. I mean, there are basic essential aspects of our life that have to be passed along to these men. And I'm proud to say that my former novices are, a number of them are now leaders within our vicariate. One of them is our vicar provincial. He's from Kenya. Another one is the student master. He's also from Kenya. Another one is in charge of the novices in the same position I had, and he's from Uganda. So my former novices are now the leaders of our vicariate, so which is an extraordinary thing. It's you know, it's tremendous blessings for me as a priest and as a Dominican to be able to see those seeds planted. So
sure, very satisfying for you.
Obviously, with the help of a lot of people, because you know, as we explained to you when I was over there, a lot of the work that we did over there is, you know, we did a lot to help the poor, and we really, you know, because the poor were right at our doorsteps. And so one of the things we did is we established a school over there with the help of many, many, many generous people. Just with the effects of HIV, there's a lot of families are kind of falling apart. And so there was a need. So we established a boarding school, and we ended up, in fact, some of the kids who've gone through our sponsorship program in our school, you know, are now doctors, lawyers, and they've come back to help. And so
wow.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it. Yeah.
So important. And then you came back to the United States and then had a very successful tenure down in Washington, the Dominican House of Study. You really brought tremendous visibility to the program there through your expertise in social media. Tell us a little bit about your experience in Washington before when you were down there at the House of Study.
So after I finished my assignment in East Africa as novice master, I came back and I was getting ready, just taking a little break, kind of coming back into the United States, basically, and I was sent to New York University. So I was there just briefly, and that's where I got to see you again, you know, way back when. And then
that's right.
And then after that, I came here to Rome about 12 years ago to do what's called the license in sacred theology to the same university where I am now. And I was planning on going on to the doctorate after that. I wrote about St. Catherine of Siena, who's one of the saints of Rome here. So she's a great Dominican mystic and saint. So anyway, but when I was here, I had plans to kind of go on for the doctorate. You know, I was thinking that maybe this would be something that I would love to do. And then I was asked, my province said, no, you're not going to go on for the doctorate. You're going to be novice master. And so this is what happens when you join religious life, when you become a priest, right? You end up doing, you do not what you want to do. Although I discovered, and I'm sure that you probably discovered the same in your own life, that you end up, you know, what you get asked to do, you discover that you find a lot of life and a lot of joy in doing it. It's because God's got plans, you know. God's plans are not always my plans. And so I have to say yes to those plans, even though sometimes it's difficult. But I was asked to be the director of vocations for the Dominican province of St. Joseph, which is the eastern Dominican province of the United States, which is there's four provinces of Dominicans in the United States. So, but I was asked to be the one on the East Coast. And so I tried to yield every effort possible to get as many men in to visit us. And so, you know, the basic bread and butter to welcome, you know, to kind of help men to discern a vocation is to get the men to come and see, you know, as Jesus says, to come and see. So we have what are called come and see vocation weekends. And we had roughly 800 men come on those weekends. And many, many other men just came to visit us. And some of those we determined that it probably didn't make sense for them to come visit us, like to stay the weekend. But so we rallied. We had kind of a big momentum happening already. So I was writing a little bit on that. But we also did a lot of itinerant preaching at different universities. traveled around the United States. We visited 30 college campuses in 1 year with one of our professors of philosophy, who took a little break so that we could kind of go on the road and start preaching with an organization called FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And we ended up spending a lot of time with young people and doing spiritual direction, retreat work. And as a result, you know, that kind of, again, people helped us to do that, and they so that we could continue to have the income that we needed, you know, to run our for our community. And then a lot of men decided to join us. So just over the years, because of all the great work of our friars as well, you know, at different institutions throughout the world, and also especially in our province, including Providence College. So as a result, many men entered, and about 100 men entered our novitiate during my 8 years, which is probably one of the biggest programs in the entire country. So now, none of this has anything to do with it's not because of me, but I was just I just happened to be part of it. The Lord allowed me to be part of it, and so that was a tremendous gift. So I was happy.
That's a great accomplishment.
Yeah. So now so a lot of those men are now priests, and they're doing great things for the church, and some of them are still in formation. So we continue to pray that they persevere. So.
Well, that's great. And now about your you've been in Rome just over a year. And so what's it been like, and what you've been working on there?
Well, okay, so after being finishing my 2 terms, which is 8 years as vocation director, the successor to St. Dominic, as the Pope is the direct successor to St. Peter in the Catholic Church, so the master of the order, he's the master general of the Dominican order here in Rome. He's the direct successor to St. Dominic. He's like the Pope of the Dominican order, kind of. Anyway, so he reached out to me through my provincial and asked if I would be willing to do this job. And what am I mean, I'm not going to tell the Pope of the Dominican order, no, I don't want to do it. You know, even though it wasn't the first on my list of things to do for my next assignment, I was expecting to be a parish priest or maybe a campus minister. But what happened was I said yes, obviously. So I was brought over here, and I did another crash course in Italian, because I already spoke some Italian already. And it's been a real roller coaster, because there's been no I'm the director of development and mission advancement for the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas, the Angelicum in Rome, which is one of the major pontifical universities that educate men primarily for the priesthood. But also priests who are doing graduate studies, who end up being professors and seminaries and Catholic universities and Catholic institutions. But we also have quite a big number of lay people as well. So we have 4 faculties, so philosophy, theology, canon law, and social sciences, which is the church's social teaching. So those 4 faculties, roughly 1,100 students coming from over 90 countries. So it's a huge institution. At least, you know, compared to what I've been accustomed to in the past. And it has a tremendous concentrated effect upon the church throughout the world, and especially in the United States, because we have so many students who are from the United States that study here. So, so I'm basically fundraiser. But, you know, as I told the master when I came over here, I told him, I said, I don't know if I can be just a development director. I told him, can you add on the title mission advancement? So, because as a priest, I'm interested in the mission of our university, because what are we doing? We're preparing men and women to become leaders in the church, preparing men for sacred orders. And this will have an effect on the church for generations to come. So, you know, it's evangelical in some way, not evangelical in that it's all about the spread of the gospel, right? So for me, that's what I asked him. I said, if that's what it is, I can do that as a Dominican, because that's what I did as a vocation director. That's what I've done as a priest. So I didn't sure. want, you know, an administrative job to sort of take over my life, and then for what? I mean, if there's no mission, but there's a great mission with the Dominican Order, and with obviously with our university, that has an effect on the world, on the whole world, really. So, Yeah, so that's how I got here. And he said, yes, of course. I'm
Wow.
going to say, no, you can't do that. So he said yes, and now I spent the last year and a half trying to help our European brothers and sisters here to understand what mission advancement is, because it's definitely an American thing. There are some that understand it, but I think it's the whole mission and the purpose of our institution, which is owned by the Dominican Order throughout the world. So the mission of our university is basically the mission of the Order of Preachers, founded by Saint Dominic some 800 years ago. So,
Sure.
which is to preach the gospel for the salvation of souls, and to do that, and we do it in a very, very big, very international way here in the heart of historic Rome. So.
Wow, that's a lot. Now you brought up something that we spent a lot of time on in our, as you know, I do a lot of work with veterans and the military, and I have the good fortune to spend a lot of time at West Point. And there's a lot of discussion about building leaders, teaching leadership, developing leadership. And you just said you're developing leaders for the church, men and women there. How do you do it? How do you see leadership development in the church, and what you've experienced, and what you've tried to develop in some of the different places that you've worked?
Well, I mean, here at the Angelicum, we've had two conferences that they're sort of some they're like day seminars, just for our students here to try to get them, because they're going to be going back, and they're going to be put into administrative positions, because they usually send the best students to Rome to study, and they're going to go back, and they're going to be put into leadership positions. And so I think there's a whole foundation behind that, that you bring out the best in other people. And I think that, but there's also the whole sense of the teachings of Jesus Christ are behind that too. So especially in regard to virtue, and this goes back to ancient philosophy. So we did is we actually utilized our own professors here, together with some outside experts, to come in to work together to put together a plan for leadership, to develop leadership for the people for our students, basically, so our students can benefit. And we also opened it up to some of the local people that work, in the Vatican and different places here as
Sure.
well. So, yeah. So, yeah. But
Well,
I
sounds like
would
you did quite
say.
a good job in Africa with those novices you brought in, who are now taking leadership roles in both the church and the students in business. That's a tremendous accomplishment in leadership development.
Yeah, and part of it has to do also that that they're wonderful young men, and they came in with a lot of gifts already. They were quite well educated by the time they came in, which is not always the case, and depending on where you are in Africa. So we ended up they came in with a lot, and the order, kind of encouraged them and educated them, and now they are, thanks be to God, in leadership positions. And so, and it's kind of the first, well, with Father Gideon Mushira, who's a Kenyan, he's our vicar provincial. He's the first native vicar provincial for our mission. So it's a big step for him, because it was the first time that an American was not in charge, so. And so I
Yeah.
think it's it seems like he's getting their support. We have, in fact, one of our Kenyans is actually here doing a degree as well, in scripture here at the Angelicum. So he's from our vicariate. So I do get some news back and forth between our mission in Kenya. But I need to be better in touch with them, of course, too. But yeah, but they but but our vicariate in East Africa answers to our province, because our province is still providing the financial stability to them. But eventually they're going to be moving to financial independence, and then eventually they would move from a vicariate to actually a province, and they would
Sure.
answer directly to the master of the order then, of course, as well. So it's a
Well, and we're talking with Father Benedict Kroll, who originally from Colorado is a Dominican priest, now 22 years serving in Rome, and gained a chance to hear about his new responsibilities there. And Father, we certainly see Pope Francis leading the church in different events. you know, at Christmas Eve Mass and different moments at major events. Have you gone over? Have you had the opportunity to be at one of the events that Pope Francis has spoken at?
Yeah, so the thing is that we see the Pope all the time. If we, you know, if you want to, it's quite easy to do that because he's out publicly every Sunday typically for the Angelus, and then on Wednesdays for the general audiences. So those it's very very easy to go listen to see him or to read, of course, what he said as well through the internet. But yeah. So I'm actually so the Pope. I forget which year that was. Shortly after he became Pope, he established a year called the Year of Mercy. I don't know if you remember that. That was a year back. And he wanted to kind of he wanted priests from around the world to become ambassadors for the gift of God's mercy throughout the world. And so they asked for volunteers, and I was asked and volunteered myself as well. The provincial made the request to people, and I offered to do it. So I'm a missionary of mercy, and so I did get the chance to come even before I was assigned here, and I was in a room with Pope Francis with about 700 other priests, and so he spoke to us and shared with us, and there's other meetings, and now that the Year of Mercy is over, he's continued the use of it's a faculty which allows us to be able to forgive certain kinds of sins that typically would be reserved only to the Pope or to a bishop.
Sure.
So we still have those faculties. So we have, so I still do a lot of preaching, even though I'm in Rome. One of the challenges is trying to help people to see, we're all the way in Rome, but people are in the United States and or different countries, and how do we share with them about who we are? So one of the things that I did when I was vocation director and also, just visiting the college campuses, well, now I'm visiting parishes. So we go out to parishes. I get a couple of Anglican professors to come with me, and we do a parish mission. So we've been doing that. We've done two parish missions since I've been over here. We did one in Florida, the Tampa Diocese, and we did another one just last Advent, last December, in the Rockford, Illinois Diocese. And then we're going in March. And we're going in March to the Dallas, Texas Archdiocese, and we're doing a parish mission in the largest parish in the Archdiocese of Dallas. So. And again, I'm taking two other Dominican professors with me, and we'll do a whole mission, hearing confessions, giving talks about God's divine providence, and of course we'll be talking about St. Thomas Aquinas, our Dominican all-star as well. So, because
sure,
the Angelican
sure.
is actually named after the angelic doctor who was St. Thomas Aquinas, who's what the Church calls the common doctor of the Church, and so he basically took natural wisdom, and which comes from pagan philosophers and even some Muslim philosophers, some commentaries on them, and he put that at the service of the gospel for the spread of the so every young man that wants to study theology from a classical point of view to become a priest, obviously he would be studying the thought of St. Thomas Aquinas. So we now boast of the strongest faculty in the thought of St. Thomas Aquinas here in the Eternal City in Rome. So we're very excited about that. So,
well, that's quite a saving. Hey, we just have about 30 seconds left. How can someone find more information about what you're doing or provide support if they would like to?
Well, they can log onto our website. They can just Google angelicum.it, which Angelicum or Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome, it's angelicum.it. And then there's a give button on the upper right-hand corner because I am the development director, and you can reach out to me. If you scroll to the bottom of that page, all of my contacts are there, so it's possible to reach me directly.
We'll put that. We will put that on our page for the podcast. And I just want to, we just have a few seconds left. I just want to say how nice it is to be back in touch today and be able to do a talk, hear about your career and the important work you're doing for the Dominicans in Rome, and it's just a pleasure. We got to go, but I just want to say thank you, Father Benedict Kroll, 22-year member of the Dominican Order, serving in Rome. Great to talk with you today.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
All set. I will send a text to you with some backup. I'm not sure if you're off.